Follow 702 on Twitter at Radio 702.
11 minutes past 9 o'clock. Up next, a very important conversation, the future of cash. And joining us on the line is Diana Brezendale, Master of Philosophy in Future Studies from the University of Stellenbosch. Good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Morning and thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure, absolute pleasure. I think you heard the context within which I introduced the topic early on. You know, I hardly ever carry cash on, you know, on me personally. Number one, number two, the other thing that's very interesting is that we're living in this age where we're talking about cryptocurrencies and, you know, all these other fancy words. And, you know, there's a long list of things that we can cover when we talk to the future of cash. What are we making reference to? Cold hard cash, as the Americans would say, the paper money that we used to be used to, or money in general?
So cold hard cash, we potentially be moving towards a cashless society. And the tangible cash that we deal with every day, that could disappear completely.
And I see that as a great possibility. I mean, we're already at a stage where, you know, depending on what the amount is that you're purchasing for and what your arrangement is with your bank, you don't necessarily, you know, for the small purchases, whether it be, bread and milk and, a chocolate bar, you don't have to necessarily even put in your PIN anymore. You just tap and go. It's very convenient for you to, and as I said, I myself haven't carried cash in quite some time. Because I simply don't need to, which means that the future of cash is quite precarious.
It's very inviting. So the convenience and the frictionless payments that going cashless offers is the big draw card, both for consumers and for businesses alike.
However, I remember, I think it was 2017 when I first went to, Kenya, Nairobi. And, they have obviously M-Pesa, and M-Pesa you can use almost anywhere, whether, in the matatus, the taxis, their local Zolabad taxis, you can use it with street merchants, people that sell on the side of the road. So if I want to buy a quick sweet or whatever, or airtime or whatever else I might have to buy, I can just purchase it using M-Pesa. And I know that there was a time where we tried to introduce it in South Africa. It didn't seem to really take off. Why is it that it seems that some portions of our society is heavily cash dependent, whereas other portions of society you can literally survive without any cash whatsoever?
Yeah, so you're absolutely correct. There are countries in Africa who have embraced going cashless. Rwanda aims to go cashless by 2024, and Nigeria also. They've made huge strides in developing the framework for cashless payments and in bringing the informal sector on board. Now, in South Africa, M-Pesa did try and launch, and you're right, it didn't take off. There seems to be a huge hindrance from the informal sector in South Africa to embrace cashless forms of payment. And we already know that only 8 out of 10 informal traders have bank accounts. And of those who do, only 60% of those are using them to process payments. So there's a huge hesitancy from the informal sector to embrace cashless payments.
I mean, that's a massively interesting statistic. I mean, because ultimately, does it mean that there's a possibility that we're leaving ourselves behind, especially for informal traders within the South African context? Because I can imagine if I only have my card on me, I drive past a trader on the side of the road, and they happen to have that one item I want. A banana, an apple, or something, and I just want to grab it quickly. And because I only have my card on me, I'm really unable to buy the item. I'm unable to support that person and give them the economic support that they're there for.
Exactly. So these informal traders, by choosing not to embrace cashless payments, are doing a disservice to themselves. We've seen other studies done in Uganda where informal traders in the agricultural sector were able to fetch higher prices for their goods in markets further away, by using mobile money, and in so doing, household welfare also increase. And locally, we've also seen success with the Abalobi app, where the fishermen are able to connect with restaurateurs and chefs and sell their goods to a market which was previously underdeveloped or didn't exist at all.
So it's obvious that the future basically lies with going cashless. You know, what is the solution? Because I think the one thing that we hinted at, looking at the case study of M-Pesa's, you know, sort of failed introduction, inverted commas, in South Africa, is that, you know, at some stage we'll need to go cashless. So how do we then introduce it in South Africa with success and people actually use it and yield the benefits that you've highlighted?
Yeah. So look, this wouldn't be a balanced discussion if we didn't recognize some of the pertinent criticisms of going cashless. And if we look at the informal sectors, I think one of the biggest fears is taxation, that they would be overburdened with taxes and that their income would be impacted. So we have to look at SARS and what they are bringing to the table. And already they are showing strides in making tax simpler for small businesses with an annual turnover of less than 1 million by introducing turnover tax, so that small businesses can become tax compliant and reducing the administrative burden on them. So in terms of the fear of overtaxation, SARS is just definitely a time to communicate and an environment of trust that they don't intend to impede the informal sector when the transactions become, you know, more explicit in the cashless economy.
And from a private sector perspective, I mean, the private sector is usually tasked with innovating in the space. You know, it's not really a governmental job anyway. It's you know, the banks or whoever, you know, the masters of industry, so to speak, in the private sector are the ones that need to innovate in the space. Are there any developments that we're aware of?
Yeah, so firstly, Payments Association of South Africa has done good work in developing the blueprint and the infrastructure to facilitate real-time payments. And in so doing, they have fostered innovation and development in that alternative payment space. So we've got new players such as Yoko, who are now at all your neighborhood markets with those card swiping terminals. And you know, we've got healthy competition in that space now, which is driving down the costs of normal transactions for consumers and businesses.
Yeah, I guess what we need is greater innovation and further penetration. I guess that's the important point. I mean, rural areas, for example, very little few ATMs accessible to people, and that's where you'll find a higher rate of cash usage. As I said, you're also missing out a significant portion of the market when you don't have, you know, any a cashless solution for people when with your services or you know, what you're trading in. So I guess it is something really important that we need to look at and develop within South Africa. And I guess that there's an open market for that ultimately, isn't it?
Yeah. So look, by leveraging technology, we are able to democratize access to financial services.
Yeah.
I think the last quoted amount was 11 million South Africans without a bank account. And so we can take all those economically disenfranchised citizens and bring them into the financial services fold.
Mm.
And in so doing, they'll have an opportunity to save, to send and receive remittances, to apply for small business loans and become entrepreneurs. I think the Payments Association of South Africa says that we stand to gain 0.25% in sustainable gains in GDP growth if we go cashless.
Wow. I mean, that for me is absolutely fascinating. Look, I mean, this is a subject I could chat to you about all the way through to, you know, the top of the hour when the show ends. But unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Diana.
Thank you.
Really, much appreciated. That's, of course, Diana Bresendale, Master of Philosophy graduate from the Future Studies at the University of Stellenbosch.